For a message this morning, you can turn in your Bible to Acts. I know we're in Sunday school, we're looking in the book of Acts, and we just were in this chapter a couple of weeks ago, Acts chapter 1. I would like to call our attention here again. Hopefully you do not grow weary of it. The reason I'm here is because Thursday was Ascension Day, your calendar says, and I don't know how you celebrated that day. Some of us worked. If you were like me, we went to work. Maybe some of you took off. Maybe you did something fun. Where I was working, the man I was working for, he's a builder, and he's not sure. He said the Amish are all off today. It's a religious holiday, but he's not sure what it is. And I said, well, it's Ascension Day. Oh, right, yeah. I knew he was a Christian. He had spoken to me about Christ prior. And he's like, yeah, that's right. Ascension Day, yeah, he said that happened like 40 days after the resurrection. I was like, yeah, that's what the Bible tells us. And we got talking about that. And he made the comment. He said, well, isn't the death and the resurrection of Jesus like the most significant event? Like, how important is the ascension of Christ? Like, does that really make a big difference for you and I? And so I was thinking about that. And yes, obviously the death of Christ and his resurrection is at the heart of the gospel message, and it must remain there. But yet Christ's work isn't finished. With that work being completed, his work continues on. Christ is not passively sitting by this morning, watching and waiting, but he's busy. He has a work that he is doing. And so I would like to just briefly this morning just highlight six things that I believe are significant about the ascension of Jesus that make it important and practical for you and I today in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County in 2025. The ascension of Christ is of absolute importance to us. Jesus' earthly ministry, in a way, ended when he left the earth, but in another sense, it continues today. And the question that comes to us is this: are you and I a part of Christ's work here? I would like to read verses 1 to 11 of chapter 1 of Acts. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. There we have the ascension of Jesus returning back to his Father. In Mark, he speaks very briefly of this event, and Luke also mentions it in two or three verses of Christ going back into heaven again. We see in verse 3 that he was with them for 40 days, showing to them without a shadow of a doubt that he was Jesus. He was the one that was on the cross. He was the one that was dead, but now he is alive. Infallible proofs, undeniable proofs that this was Jesus. He was with them for 40 days. And what did he speak about? He spoke about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That was what was the most important to Christ. He was about to leave his followers and go back to heaven, and he had some last words to give to them, and his words to them were words pertaining to the kingdom of God. What kind of kingdom was this? Well, it was not an earthly kingdom. He didn't speak about politics or Roman rule or governments. This was a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of grace and a kingdom of glory. Jesus had not come to become an earthly prince. And we have these disciples asking this question again to him. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel again? And he says something very interesting in verse 7. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. What did Jesus mean when he spoke that? Well, perhaps we can become misfocused when our focus becomes only on the times and the seasons, and we forget the real reason why we're here. And he goes in to tell them in verse 8, of their purpose, of their mission, to go into all the world, to be a witness of Jesus. This was the last time that the disciples asked this question. They understood fully when the Holy Ghost came upon them, their mission, and they went forth. They gave their lives away, speaking the gospel message to those that they met. The kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God today, is much larger than one ethnic group of people. It's not just pertaining to the Israelites and to the Jewish people, but the kingdom of God, there's a call that goes out this morning to the entire world, the whole world. The gospel message is for every person, every soul, not just for one special group of people. So don't narrow it down to just Mennonite people this morning or to some other religious peoples, but let's get a vision of who the gospel message is for and who it should be affecting. And may we be faithful in giving the message by our lives and by our words. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, the question that I guess you and I should ask ourselves is this: have you received the power? Have you received the Holy Spirit this morning? Do you have courage this morning to go and to tell and to live for Christ? How timid are you this morning to speak for the one who has saved your soul? The one who's made a difference in your life. The one who has broke the chains of sin in your life. How ready are you to go speak of him to those that you meet? Well, as he was speaking these words, it says, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. In Luke chapter 24, Luke also says this. He says that in verse 50, he says that he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And so just picture the scene of the disciples gathered around Christ, maybe in a circle. Christ was speaking to them. He had his hands raised and he was blessing them, and he was taken out of their midst. How did he go? Was it like Elijah in the whirlwind, the chariots of fire come, whoosh, and with a force, Elijah was gone? No, it wasn't like that. I don't think it was like that. It seemed like it was a gentle ascension. They followed him. They watched him. They saw where he went. It wasn't a question where he had gone. They saw him go. Purely by his own power, he rose. He rose in his body. In his resurrected body, in his spiritual body, he rose up into the clouds. The clouds received him. It's a body like you and I will have, all the saints will have. It's a resurrected body that's raised in power and in corruption. These disciples, they saw him go up. In fact, their eyes were steadfastly just gazing up, watching him go until he was gone. And then what? Then what did they think? Did they think he was coming back again? Did they wish? No, what was going through their minds? He vanished into a cloud. Psalms 104, verse 3, God says that he makes the clouds his chariot. And the clouds in this event became the chariots of Jesus, and they took him up into heaven. God often came down to his people in the Old Testament in a cloud. But now a cloud received him out of their sight. This was the last that they saw of him. What became of him? Think about that. What happened next in heaven when Jesus appeared on the scene? A man, the Son of Man, returning to glory. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Here comes the King of Glory. Well, we see in verse 10, as the disciples were there looking, two men appeared by them in white clothes. They're angels. And they had a message for them. Jesus, as he was going up, angels likely met him. And Christ gave these two angels a job. He said, you go down to my 11 men on the ground and you give them a message. And they came and he said, men of Galilee, why are you just standing here looking up into heaven? He's going to come back again. The same Jesus that you know, that you love, that you worship, that you wish was here with you, he's coming back again. That was the message that was given to them. He'll come the same way as he went. Psalms 47, in verse 5, it says that God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet, and someday Jesus is coming back again with a shout. And with the sound of a trumpet. Jesus became lost to their sight in the clouds. But someday scripture tells us that we're going to meet him where? We're going to meet him in the clouds. Are you ready to meet him in the air? Are you ready to meet him in the clouds? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26 and 28. This same Jesus who came once to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself will appear a second time without sin. He is coming back again for sure. Without a shadow of a doubt, today he will return. He will return. Do not scoff at that. Do not push it off. Do not say it's not yet time. He will come back. You and I don't know the times. We don't know the seasons. We're called to be ready. At any time when you think not, He will come. And so this morning, will you stand and gaze, and will you consider and think about the return of this Jesus that disappeared into a cloud? Will you with these disciples stand and gaze upon that and think about that this morning, that Christ is coming back again the same way that He did, that He went? And if you're sleeping, spiritually speaking, this morning, thinking about Christ and His second coming should waken you up, and it should set your priorities straight this morning, spiritually speaking. They should set things right in your life if you believe without a shadow of a doubt that Christ is coming again. Or perhaps this morning you're facing difficulties and troubles and trials, and loneliness and sadness in your life. Will take courage this morning, because Jesus will come back again. May you find comfort for your soul today with the thought that Jesus will return. While considering his return, it should move us. It should provoke us, Scripture says, to love and to good works. Well, that is not our consideration, the second return of Christ, but it's tucked in here with us. You can't help but to see it. We must mention it. Let's focus a bit more on the ascension of Jesus, and I'd like to consider six aspects of His ascension that make it significant and important to us. The first one is the ascended Jesus continues His work. The ascended Jesus continues His work. We see that in verse 1 of this chapter, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, speaking of Jesus through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Began is an important word, and it signals that Jesus' work has not ended. Yes, the cross and the work on Calvary was finished. It was complete. And Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. And yes, that work is complete, but His work continues on. His work is not ended. His work continues as Lord and as Messiah, as Savior. This book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, it's called, is really the Acts of our Lord, working through the apostles. That's who this book is about. It's about the Lord, about our risen Lord, which works from heaven. He works from heaven through who? Well, He works through His people, through the Holy Spirit that He gives to them, for the sole purpose of accomplishing His Father's work here. Christ continues active in His work in heaven, and He will continue to guide you as his child, powered by the Holy Spirit. Learn to nurture that. I want to learn to nurture that in my life. The nudge of the Spirit. And I have often put the Spirit and His nudgings to just shut it off and put it to sleep, put it quiet. But let's learn to nurture the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us through our circumstances, through His Word, through the people that we meet. Become acquainted with the Spirit and with the Word of God, so you can be used effectively to carry out your Father's purpose. The work of Jesus continues today, right now, in this place, in this world. Number two, the ascended Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to His people. We see that in verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus continues to send out His Holy Spirit to those who believe in Christ and give their lives to Him. Luke also tells us back in his gospel, he tells us this in verse 49 of chapter 24, Jesus speaking, and He says, I send the promise of My Father upon you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. We have Peter, when he preached his sermon in chapter 2, he said in verse 33, he said that they received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Are the folks that you meeting, that I meet today, can they see the work of the Spirit in my life? Peter said that you can. What's happening right now is the work of the Spirit. God is working. Jesus continues to send forth his Spirit to those who follow him. Jesus also tells us in John chapter 14, verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth not him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." These are beautiful promises that Jesus gives to those who follow him. And they're for us today. He will come to you. He will come to me. And he will not leave us comfortless. He will come and he will meet your need. Joel tells us in chapter 2 and verse 28, speaking of this time in Acts, he says that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And so this is the promise of the ascended Jesus today, is that the Spirit will continue to go forth unto his people, to be present with his people, to empower them for what? For mission work, locally and to the uttermost parts of the world. And also to transform you and to make you into a person that reflects who your King is and who you're trying to follow. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." By how? By the Spirit of the Lord. Am I allowing the Spirit of the Lord today to work in my life to change me, to make me more like the King that I'm endeavoring to serve? That is his work. Do you see that in your life? Number three, the ascended Jesus is crowned King. A cloud received him out of their sight, verse 9 says, and he disappeared. What happened in heaven when this man, when the Son of Man returned into heaven again? What was the scene like in heaven? What happened? Well, perhaps this psalm, Psalm 24, can give us some help. The psalmist, David, says this in verse 7. He says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This King entered in through the gates of the city as a man, as the Son of Man. And he was crowned King. King of the world. Is Christ the King of the world today? In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 19, Mark says that after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Where is Christ sitting? He's sitting at the right hand of God. What happened to Jesus when he returned into heaven. Well, perhaps Daniel gives us a glimpse as he prophesied of the ascension of Jesus in Daniel chapter 7. Verse 13, Daniel said he saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Well, Jesus had gone up into the clouds. The clouds received him out of their sight. And here comes the Son of Man with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Who is that? Well, that's God. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Who brought him near before him? Well, the angels likely brought Jesus, their king, to the Father. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The kingdom of Jesus today, it will never pass away. In fact, this kingdom can never be destroyed. It is forever. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus tells us, he says this, that to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He was made a king. A king. He conquered. He overcame. And he's sitting on a throne by his Father. And he promises those who also overcome, he says, you're going to sit with me in my throne. That's what he says. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 25, speaking of Jesus, he says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Well, this king this morning, many folks today will not recognize this king. They will not honor this king. They don't believe that he's active, that he's in control, that he's working, that he cares about this world scene. Revelation chapter 5 says that this king is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. This king this morning is worthy of your praise and of your honor and of all that you have. He's worthy of everything. This is what this king demands of you. If you're to serve him, there's no exceptions. Will you give him all that you are, to all that he is? Well, someday, Christ will return, and he will perfect his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Today, he is sitting on his throne. And there's occasions that we find in Scripture, we've just looked at one at Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, he cried out and he said, look, he said, I see the Son of Man, and he wasn't just sitting there, he was standing. He was standing there. And I believe Christ still stands. He's still watching and looking, seeing what's going on. He's paying attention. He's in control. Man doesn't want to recognize Christ as king, but someday they will. Every knee will bow to this king. Every knee, every tongue will confess that this man Jesus, he is the king of the world. Number 4, the ascended Jesus returns to his Father. That's where he went to. He went to his Father. In fact, when Jesus was here on earth, he often spoke of that. He says, I'm going to be going back to my Father before his death and after his death. He spoke of returning to his Father. It was on his mind. In John chapter 16, Jesus says this. John chapter 16 and verse 28, Jesus says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. He returned unto his Father. In John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus also says, after he came out of the grave and he spoke to Mary, he said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Have you ever witnessed a sweet reunion? People that have maybe been separated for a number of weeks, number of months, couple of years, have you ever witnessed two people coming together again? And the joy and the delight of seeing each other again? Maybe you have experienced that. I'm suggesting to us this morning that this reunion was the sweetest reunion that there ever has been and ever will be. The return of the Son to his Father. What delight. Just picture with that. The Son returning to his Father, and the Father had told the Son, I am well pleased. He does everything perfectly. And he returns. Mission accomplished. Can you imagine the delight that flows between the two of them, Father and Son? Perhaps the closest comparison would be a courageous, wounded soldier returning home from a hard-fought victory and meeting his family. Perhaps. But here was Jesus. He had returned to his Father, and his Father glorified him. His Father was pleased with him. In John chapter 4, Jesus tells us, he says in verse 2, actually, it's John chapter 14, rather. John chapter 14, he says that he's going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And so take heart this morning, take comfort this morning, because the return of Jesus to his Father guarantees and prepares the way for you to also go to that place, to be forever with Jesus. And in John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying to his Father, he said, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And as Christ returned to his Father, the glory that he had before he came to the earth was given to him again. And he prayed, Father, return unto me the glory that I had before I came. And so there he was in the presence of his Father, glorified. He had returned to his Father. Number 5, the ascended Jesus is our heavenly mediator and high priest. Jesus continues his work today as a mediator, as an intercessor for his people. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 34, Paul says, Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Christ continues to minister to the needs of his people. When Christ was here on earth, he was confined geographically to the one spot where he was. But today, thank God, he's no longer confined to one spot, but he is able to answer and to hear and understand the cries of his people globally. And that is astounding and amazing to think about that Christ has the capability, as you pray, as I pray, and as people praying in China and all over the world, he has capability of getting that all, understands it all, and he answers it all. He's able to respond no matter the time or the place, and he'll sympathize. He sympathizes with your struggles. He sympathizes with your trials, with your difficulties, with your questions, with your things that you don't know what to do with. He is there. He understands you. He's interceding for you. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you need a counselor this morning that's sympathetic, that's merciful, that understands you? There's one here. He's the best counselor that you'll ever have, that you'll ever need. Reach out to him. Spend time with him. His work continues today, interceding for his people. Will you make use of his work on your behalf? Number 6, the ascended Jesus will return as a king and judge. He will return as king and judge. The angels told the disciples in verse 11 that this same Jesus will come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Someday the reign of Christ, the kingship of Christ, will be fully recognized by all people. Whether they want to admit to it or not, they will acknowledge that Jesus is the King of the world. Today, he is the King of the world. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, speaking of Jesus, it says that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 19, and verses 11 to 16, speaking of Jesus, and he that sat upon him, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Speaking of everything in capital letters, as Earl's devotional was this morning, this also, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is in capital letters. It is significant this morning. It's to catch your attention. It's to make you think who this Jesus is. This is the very thing that you and I pray for when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus will come. Do you want Jesus to come? Jesus will come, and he will execute divine judgments. And he will vindicate his people. In Psalms 149, verse 2, the psalmist says, Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. And there's other beautiful verses that follow right behind that. Well, Jesus this morning is King. And he will return as a King and as a Judge. Now, just very briefly yet, just some practical things of how this should affect our lives today as Christians, as we love Jesus, follow him, as we live here. How? What implications do these six things have upon my life? Number one, remember that Jesus is presently reigning as King, and he remains active in the world at large and with you as a person. Christ is presently reigning. Do not get the feeling this morning that Christ is inactive, that Christ isn't hearing you, that Christ isn't helping you. Christ will help you. That's what he's in heaven for. He will be there for you. Seek him while he may be found. Reach out to him. The events of this world and the events of your life are ordered by this King. Trust him. Number two, live boldly and confidently because you're a servant of this King. Do you ever think about who you are? Who you are in Jesus? What your inheritance is? What you got coming for you? You're a brother to Christ. Do you ever think about that? Live your life in confidence. Don't be ashamed of him. Love him. Speak about him. You're a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Serve him, give him all you got, because your labors in the Lord are not in vain, Paul tells us. Number three, if you're facing trials and difficulties today, Jesus is not indifferent to you. He sees you, he understands you, and he wants to help you. Take your needs to him, to the most sympathetic, to the most merciful, and to the most gracious person you'll ever meet. It's Jesus. Take your needs to the King of Heaven, and the King of Heaven will respond with the authority of heaven. What else do you need than that? Have Christ work in your life. Number four. We should have a hope in a glorious future. It's okay if things aren't going so well down here. It's okay if some things are falling apart. It's okay that we have some heartache and we have some pain. We have some suffering. That's okay. We've got a glorious hope. Do you have one? Do you think about it? Hope in a glorious future. Christ will come and he will abolish every injustice. He will end suffering. He will destroy death. That's what he's coming to do. And he'll set up a kingdom of truth, of righteousness, of peace, of love. Hope in a glorious future. And best of all, because you'll be with your King forever. Does that bring any joy to you? Hopefully it does. Joy to be with your King forever. Yes. Yes, this Jesus knows us. He knows what we're made of. He understands us. He sympathizes with us. He has mercy for us. He understands when we fall. He helps us up again. He's not here to strike us down. It's here to give us mercy and grace. Will we extend that to our brothers and our sisters, our neighbors, people we work with, people we meet? Let's do that. Live a life of love, because that's who we are, serving the King of Love. Well, may the ascension of Jesus may it inspire us, encourage us, and give us boldness
as servants of the ascended Lord, to be faithful until he calls us home or we meet him in the clouds. Let's be faithful to him. Let's kneel for prayer.